The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
And we're back. We got the big shots here in the studio. Mr. Ajani Brown.
Ajani Azibo.
Azibo. I apologize. You know what I'm saying? Azibo Brown. All right. Mr. Curtis Lewis. Curtis with a C. I know that Curtis Blow.
Yes.
Curtis Blow is he's a K as well.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? But I ain't seen the C, E. You know, we know the IS. Oh, yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm talking about,
okay,
right?
Okay.
And then, of course, Ms. Emanuela Perez Casillas for Wang Papu.
Mm-hmm.
And they're here. So they'll be back later this week.
That's right. Yeah. I believe Thursday.
Thursday, same 8 o'clock hour.
Yes.
We got Jean Toya. That's how you pronounce that name?
Jean
Toya.
Uh-huh.
Along with Ms. Akela or Akala?
Akela.
Potentially.
Potentially.
And Akela is the director for Housing Choice Voucher Program.
Which is formerly known as like, it's like a Twitter deal, right?
Yeah.
Formerly known as Twitter. It's now X.
It's now X, yes.
Section 8. Right. Okay, good. So,
And Adina Joseph.
Yes. Yeah. Well, her name in and this makes
sense. No, not yet.
Yeah,
because, you know, she has to.
She got makeup, right? Yeah. So, Evan Joseph, stay in Christian Stead Wednesday. You know what I'm saying?
By your grandmother.
You know what I'm saying? And then you come in here. I got Miss Ty Camille Hunt. She's going to be joining me here in a little bit. But I want to thank you, impressive young Virgin Islanders, for joining me this morning. Here on Analyze This, in your leadership roles and responsibility at the Virgin Islands Housing Authority, specifically the Resident Wellness Empowerment Department.
Yes.
Right? And I wish the Housing Authority enough luck and respect going forward, because every Virgin Islander got some connection to one of these facilities.
Mm-hmm.
You might live in a big house now, got things worked out well and all that stuff, mm-hmm. but you got either you or a family member has a fond memory.
We have a Grammy winner now, too.
That's right. Exactly.
I didn't tell us that.
He used to work in the legislature. He used to go in the housing for them.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But every Virgin Islander will tell you of a fond memory or connection to one of these facilities.
That's
you
right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's
and we need
right.
to make sure that we treat them with the love and respect that they deserve. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give everybody a little bit of a chance. I'll start with you, Azibo. You know what I mean? Since you wanted to let me know.
Since you
there. Don't miss that, Mr. Ajani Azibo Brown. Final words here.
I am Ajani Azibo Brown, the Strategic Initiatives and Program Coordinator. Please remember, Resident Council applications are due Monday, June 3rd by 5 p.m. You can get them from your property management office, or you can reach out to me and they can be submitted to either or. My phone number is 340-690-5171. My email address is ajbrown@vihousing.org. That's Brown without the E. Thank you for having us.
And Mr. Brown is also in charge now of the Section 3 program, which is something that just happened this past year. And it's a program that allows residents to be able to get like an internship, per se, with authorities. They can work outside in the field. They can work in the office.
You know. It's a job training program where we hire residents from our communities. We give them a job either in the office, where they get to develop their administrative skills, such as sending emails, answering phone calls, or filing papers, or in the field, where they get to develop a trade such as plumbing or electrical.
That's awesome. Section 3.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Section 3. It's a great stepping stone.
Yeah. And again, I'm Curtis Lewis, the Marketing and Communication Specialist. We're putting together this Stay in the Loop campaign. We want everyone to be in the loop. And one of the ways you could do that is you could just email me, and I'll make sure I get your email and phone numbers on our mailing list so that you could be able to stay in the loop with all the great things that we've been talking about so far in the program. You could email me at kjlewis@vihousing.org. Mm-hmm. Or you could give me a phone call at 340-201-0259.
Mm-hmm. Or you could call the Housing Authority and say, I want to talk to the man who went to YouTube University.
And told us about compound interest.
You know what I'm saying? Ms. Perez-Casas?
Listen, Virgin Islands, you've got to stay in the loop with the Virgin Islands. With the Virgin Islands Housing Authority, in order to take advantage of the programs that we're offering and also the partnerships that we have available. And you can stay in the loop with me at EPCASSIUS, EPCASSIUS at virginislandshousing.org, or call me 340-201-5068. Anytime you have an opportunity to partner, anytime you want to provide a service, or anytime you just want to make sure you are a part of the programming that we are offering and take advantage of your home wellness, stay in the loop with us and give us a call.
You can reach out to the main office at 340-777-8442.
Okay, yep. And our slogan this year is looped in,
never out.
You want a t-shirt?
We're gonna bring one for
tell it true, yeah, tell yeah, it true. Yeah. You know, we got you. Looped in, never out. That's us this year.
Some of my audience props, right? Quote, it's an audience. This is an audience text message. I can see this being a powerful movement for the residents to have more say in what happens in our communities. In shaping policies in the legislature.
That's the goal. That's where we headed. Somebody see the vision.
So I'm going to tell her, on that note, or that high note, I go get out of my studio.
We don't take over.
You know what I'm saying? I done set. You know what I mean? I'm good to go.
Yes.
And thank you very much for this hour of empowerment for the residents. And I'm looking forward to talking with the other divisions of the Housing Authority on Thursday.
Yes.
Right? Thank you for having us, Neville. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Blessed day, Virgin Islands.
Have a great day, Virgin Islands.
Johnny Azibo Brown, Curtis Lewis, and Ms. Emanuela Perez-Casas from the Virgin Islands Housing Authority. Before we bring in Ms. Ty Camille Huntiza, good to see my brother. Yeah, all the time. Dodgers hat and a Yankee rule, man. You better get out of here real quick. You know what I'm saying? All right, good to see you, baby. Yeah, man, all the time, right? Take care. You got it. And tell my people, let my say yo. You know how it is, right? Tonight on Channel 12, we got the PBS NewsHour at 7, Finding Your Roots at 8, right? Explore the roots of journalist Sonny Hostin and actor Jesse Williams. At 9, American Experience, and that goes from 9 to 11 tonight, right? And you heard it. I heard the commercial earlier when our weatherman was telling you what the deal is. Revisit 1967 when LBJ, right? That's President Lyndon Baines Johnson, created a commission to investigate why inner cities had erupted in violence, right? So that's the American Experience from 9 until 11. And then I'm Important Company from 11 to midnight. Okay, so Nozawa at 7, Finding Your Roots at 8, American Experience at 9 to 11, and then Amanpour and Company until midnight, from 11 to midnight. We've got the one and only Ty Camille Huntiza, the notorious TCHC from the Virgin Islands Department of Health, Medical Director, and also the founding dean at the University of Virgin Islands Medical School. On the line, there's a wellness summit planned for June 1 to June 9 here in the Virgin Islands. Good morning, Dr. Huntiza. How are you?
Good morning. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm here.
That's okay. You can knock it out. Glad to hear your voice. How's St. Thomas? What are hot lakes in Croatia?
Yeah, it's warm.
It is, and we were told about that. But we could be receiving some midweek rain, though. I saw that this morning, so hopefully we get some moisture in the area to cool us off a little bit. How's the Department of Health?
Always active. We are always busy and trying to do what we can to prevent diseases.
Mm-hmm. And you're an infectious disease doctor, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tell the public, for those who may not have heard you before, a little bit about yourself and before we get into this great initiative that's coming up in another, I guess, what? Time flying, another 12 days. Time flying, 10, 11 days, yeah. So go right ahead.
Yeah,
Yeah. 11 days.
Tell me about me.
Who is Ty Camille Hunt-Caesar?
Born and raised in St. Thomas, product of CBI graduates, and I, went to public schools, went to Howard University, finished medical school there, internal medicine residency, global health residency training at University of Miami, and also infectious diseases, and completed a master's in public health there, and then came home and have been at both the Department of Health and the Royal Leicester Shannon Hospital or Shannon Regional Medical Center in the public and private sector for all the 12 years I've been back home. And now currently the Chief Medical Officer for the Department of Health, and as you stated, most recently the founding dean for the Donald Sussman School of Medicine at the University of the Virgin Islands. So currently, in my capacity as the Chief Medical Officer of the Department of Health, it's my responsibility to try to ensure that we provide as much opportunities for the mission of the Department of Health, which is to promote wellness, reduce diseases as the best as possible. And I actually was tasked by my commissioner, Jose Encarnacion, to be the overseer of the health equity office that we recently established. And we recently hired a health equity director, Lashanet Shang. And with that, we are trying to ensure that we provide as many opportunities for promoting health equity and reducing healthcare disparities. And last year, I was introduced to the Innovative Readiness Training Program, which is a program that is funded by the Department of Health. The Department of Defense. It's a military-based program that essentially provides opportunities for the service members to get training to continue their professional development in the various areas with construction, cybersecurity, and also healthcare. And when I was informed of this, of the healthcare aspect, I immediately applied for one of their programs to happen in right here in the territory. And we pulled together within 2 months an emergency pediatric and vaccination back to school clinic last August, and it was very successful. One of the problems that the providers, the pediatricians in the community always tell me about during the summer, that there's not enough services to provide to the back to school rush for vaccinations and physicals. So I put the application in for that, and it was widely successful. We serviced all three islands and provided services to about up to 400 children. About 800 procedures were done, whether it was vaccinations or physicals. And we saved the community about $180,000 out-of-pocket costs for these free services. That's another thing. These services are provided free to the community. So it's honestly a way for the military to give back to provide community service to the underserved areas in the nation, because this is only provided in this country to the states and the territories. So it's a win-win situation where the military continued to be trained for and for any type of deployment readiness, while giving back to the communities that are there in need. So that back to school clinic that we had last year in August. Then, because it was successful, we reapplied for the entire medical mission to happen again this year. And instead of it being just a pediatric clinic, the entire medical mission is comprised of five different prongs, where the medical mission will continue it with the pediatric needs in the territory. There is a dental component, which provides a dental clinic for screening and procedure, an optometry clinic, which also provides screenings and access to prescription eyeglasses, a veterinary component, which is much needed in the territory, and then a behavioral health component, which we are incorporating with our wellness fair for screenings, and also being placed at our Elder Shelter branch facility in the our behavioral health residential facility in St. Thomas. The only component that we are not having is, unfortunately, is a veterinary component. We did try to plan and partnered with the Humane Society and the Animal Rescue Center in St. Croix, but we were not able to get the veterinarians and the vet techs for this mission. So that's the only thing that we're missing in this forum. But the wellness fair is going to comprise all of the services that I just enlisted or just provided or stated, and we are going to be partnering with the Department of Education so that we can occupy the gymnasiums in each district at the Vanity Dorkin High School and the St. Croix Educational Complex, so that we can have the dental and optometry and the wellness fair clinics be situated in those settings. So I'll stop there. If you have any questions, then we can talk about other things.
Now, just curious as to, you know, the governor's embracing of this initiative. I know that there was I read, because I was out of the territory, I think it was 2 weeks ago yesterday, right? That would make it, what, the 6th? That there was a press briefing, and the governor and yourself were correct there. How that one came about?
Well, reporting it, but this is not like a very small endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
This is huge. This is big. So we have to partner with the Office of the Governor as well as all of the other government agencies to pull this off, because this is something that we hope to serve the entire community. These services are free. These services are available to anybody. I mean, anybody. So we want to make sure that we have opportunities for the individuals who don't have access to care. But we all know that even if you do have access to care, sometimes it can be a little bit challenging in the territory. So we, at the end of this, you know, this week or 10 days that the fair is going to happen, we hope to have served at least tens of thousands of Virgin Islanders and we want everybody to utilize these services. And because of that, we had to, you know, we worked with the Office of the Governor, we worked with all of the government agencies to make sure that that we can have the support. The military comes in and they fund a lot. This is something that's really free to the community. So they're bringing in all of the heavy equipment. You know, they're bringing in all of the dental chairs, all of the extra machines, everything, right? But there's certain things that on the local side we need to also, you know, have support for. So I'm talking about logistics, VIPD, EMS, even BIT is helping us with the technology capability, human services, so that to make sure that the public also has access to all of the wraparound services.
Hold on one second. We'll stop at human services for the wraparound services. We're going to take a break. Pick it up with the other agencies that are playing a part. We got Dr. Ty Camille Hunt-Caesar from the Department of Health joining us this morning, talking about the benefits of a wellness summit that's going to run from June 1 to June 9th. Be back right after this.
Bank of St. Croix has something for everyone. With two locations, the Bank of St. Croix provides personal and business checking accounts, online banking, and mobile apps for banking on the go, a nonprofit community investment checking account, and a 24-hour banking cash management platform. Bank of St. Croix, Gallows Bay, Bank of St. Croix, Peters Rest, and online, bankofstcroix.com. For details about our nonprofit community investment checking account, our service specialists are ready to help. Bank of St. Croix, member FDIC.
I'm Scott Simon, host of Weekend Edition Saturday. In these divided times, what could be more important than a conversation? Conversation with someone we don't know, someone we think we know, someone with whom we disagree or think we do. Join us as we ask questions of politicians, ranchers, parents, athletes, activists, gardeners, writers, and lots more. Then Listen along with you.
Weekend Edition, Saturdays at 9 a.m. on WTGX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Music can be an incredibly personal experience. A song can inspire you, it can comfort you, it can make you feel understood, but it can even take you back to a specific moment in your life. And it all begins with the artist. Join me, Raina Duras, as I get personal through in-depth interviews with your favorite musicians and find out where those songs come from on World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
The PBS NewsHour has a rich legacy of in-depth reporting and strong storytelling.
Only four people have sat in that chair before us, and the enormity of this moment is not lost on me. People turn to us because they know they can hear from trusted sources of information and news.
That won't change a bit, even as the faces behind the desk change.
Good evening. I'm Jeff Bennett.
And I'm Amna Nawaz.
Weekdays at 7 p.m. on WTJX TV, Channel 12.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. a gremlin. Glad to have you back. So 9 days of just, and ain't got no break in between. Just nine consecutive days of medical medical support available to the people of the Virgin Islands.
And so, and it's
you were talking about the other agencies, yes. Department of Human Services.
Yeah, I have. I mean, those are all the agencies that are working with us. We want to have you know, being there present at the fair. But I mean, I can't believe I didn't even start with Zing. You know, National Guard has been working with us from the beginning, planning. We've been planning this since August of last year. And they are working with the military team to, you know, to help with logistics, to bring in all of the equipment. So it's, you know, there's so many departments that we've been working with. It's you know, even Department of Tourism, who is helping us at the end of the 10 days. You know, we're going to try to give a very big morale, culturally appropriate event to say thank you. So, you know, just. All of the agencies have been involved, and it's been a lot of work, and I am so excited for the public to come out and actually just utilize the services. Free dental care, free optometry screening, free wellness screenings, and we'll be there. Of course, the Department of Health will be there to ensure that we link our customers and patrons of the wellness fair to services here in the Virgin Islands.
Now, the Department of Defense, they are what, they're the creators of this concept, or this is just this is something that they do in conjunction with health agencies?
No, I think this is a Department of Defense
creation.
Program, yes, correct. Okay. And it's all subject to the funding that, you know, that they have for this program. And, you know, of course, that will go with advocacy and the good work that they do in all the communities. So they do a lot of work in Guam, other tribal nations around the country. And they've been doing a lot of work with construction, I'm just excited that we're able to put in applications so that they can provide the support that we need for the medical mission. But once they are established here in the territory, there are so many other things and opportunities that we can do. So I'm very excited to continue to work with them and even introduce them to the other agencies in the community so we can do more work with them.
Now, for those who are listening, there's a website that you can find out more about what the Department of Defense does as it relates to readiness training, right? This is irt.defense.gov. Right, and it speaks about innovative readiness training, right? And it says military training at its finest, working in American communities. They say innovative readiness training is a Department of Defense military training opportunity exclusive to the United States and its territories that delivers joint training opportunities to increase deployment readiness. Simultaneously, IRT provides key services, healthcare, construction, transportation, and cybersecurity with lasting benefits for our American community. So this is the healthcare part of it, right? They are in four different areas: healthcare, construction, transportation, and cybersecurity. So how I read in this, Dr. Hunt Caesar, right, is that this is the healthcare component, but also if construction and transportation and cybersecurity were to reach out to the Department of Defense, depending on availability of funds, they could also be agencies that benefit from this innovative readiness training.
100%.
That's what I'm talking about. I like in this.
So that is, yes, so, which is why I've been like oozing and like, you know, like bubbling about like, you know, all the other things that we can do, you know, and I don't want to put other agencies on blast, but like, there's only been so much that like we can apply for. But I'm hoping that this, you know, fair is like a wide success and that they'll just continue to want to come to the territory to do more work. But the other website that I want everybody to be aware of is our website, mm-hmm. for this fair, which is vibewell.health. It is very easy. It's just exactly what I said, vibewell.health. And you can find all the information there that you need to know about the dates, about registration, about participation, everything there.
Hold on there. I call in your bluff right now.
Yes. So the one thing that that unfortunately is not as ready that I would like is our registration portal. And mm-hmm. we tried to have it ready coming from yesterday. And it might actually be ready this afternoon because we're just putting the finishing tweaks on that. But that is the registration portal is going to be where you can go and just put in all your information, essentially just start your intake, so that when you get to the different sites at the gyms, then you know it's easy. It's you don't have to put in all of your information. And again, the registration is not for appointments because there's no appointments needed. This is first come, first serve, and it's going to be many people to serve you. So we urge you to get there early and at your convenience. It's many different days. So, come out. We don't want you to get there, you know, past 4 o'clock because we are going to be wrapping up at 5. It's first come, first serve. We want everybody to show up. We do have we will be saving 20 appointments for like 8 o'clock in the morning every day for seniors and disability and persons with disabilities. So that is something that you can actually schedule appointments for, but you don't need an appointment. And we have different agencies that we're working with that we can get special groups shuttled and taken in to be seen, and those individuals will be given priority as well. But it's a first come, first serve. We want everybody to come.
Eudora Ken and St. Thomas, the yep. Educational Complex on St. Croix, correct. And the maternal.
That is for, yes.
And the Marcy that, Castro Clinic. And
yeah. So you're talking about the MCH clinics. So the MCH clinics are going to be just for the pediatric.
Well, those two schools are the fair locations. Right.
Correct. For the fair and at the fair is going to be the dental and optometry and behavioral health clinics.
Mm-hmm. So that's Eudora Ken out in Nazareth, right? And yes. St. Thomas and the King mm-hmm. and the educational complex down in the Kings Hill area here in St. Croix. And then you got the MCH clinics, which is the maternal child health, right? And
correct.
You got three of those. You got on St. John, the Morris DeCastro Clinic in Cruz Bay, in St. Thomas, the Elanco Building up in Estate Content, and then on St. Croix, the University of Virgin Islands, the Great Hall.
Yes, because we have some infrastructure problems, so we're temporarily going to be locating at the Great Hall and at UVI. So, again, another entity that we're partnering with. There's so many people that we're collaborating with, and it's wonderful to work with everyone to get this done. Now, while you don't need an appointment for any of these services, it is highly encouraged to make an appointment for the MCH pediatric physicals.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessary, but it's highly, highly recommended because vaccinations are a little bit more complex with the instructions and the things that you need. But most moms and parents, I should say, know exactly that they need to bring documents and certain things for vaccinations. But it's going to be highly recommended to make an appointment, and the clinic would really appreciate it because it would really bring a lot more organization to the flow, and to make sure that you don't have to be turned away to bring in certain things.
How are we making out with how people view the vaccinations in the aftermath of the pandemic? Because I ain't trying to skirt. You know, what's the issue? Every time we hear of a sudden passing or something, people immediately want to jump on social media and blame the vaccine as if sudden passings never happened before the pandemic or because vaccines never worked before, like polio and all that stuff, never existed. How are you making out dealing with the paranoia? Not that we're telling people that they're obligated to take a vaccine, and I just want us to have a little discussion about the realities of, the fallout coming with the pandemic.
We stay with the facts, and we know that that vaccines are ensure the safety of our children and the safety of the entire community. So we just continue to promote and ensure that the messaging goes out well. And, that's just not us. That's the entire pediatric community. So all of our pediatricians in the territory, whether if they work in the private or public sector, they provide that education to make certain that the parents are well informed. And we know that social media is an animal all by itself, and there's a lot of misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
But we just continue.
And some information as well. But unfortunately, correct, there is a misinformation dynamic.
Absolutely.
That exists there,
mm-hmm,
right?
So we just continue to do work. The pandemic, in addition to what you stated, really was a bad time, and it unfortunately allowed for children to miss a lot of their childhood vaccines and to fall out of their schedules. And then the result that we've seen in the United States is that we have more cases of measles and more cases of polio that we're following, and we're following very carefully and hoping and bracing ourselves that we don't, bracing for potential outbreaks, because this would be really, really devastating. The effects of these childhood illnesses can be very traumatic, lasting, and debilitating, and ultimately fatal sometimes too. So we just continue to try to do our best to make sure that parents are well informed.
I don't mean to cut you off there, but on the information tip, I want to make sure I get this right, right? As relates to the vaccine, people believe that the research, or there are those who are of the belief that the research related with the pandemic, the vaccine started with the pandemic. But in doing my reading, didn't this start like maybe a couple decades before with the SARS deal?
Correct. So what people don't necessarily may not understand intuitively is that the coronavirus was not this was not the first time that we were introduced to a coronavirus, you know, as it relates to even like on an epidemic proportion in our time. So, you know, the SARS when SARS came out initially.
That was like in 2002, somewhere around there, right?
Yeah, it was early 2000s.
Yeah.
And it had a very, very devastating effect in certain parts of the world. And it didn't explode into pandemic proportions, but it was enough that scientists were already doing research on trying to figure out how to best provide a vaccine for this type of virus, which is different to the influenza virus. So yes, you are correct that the research was already.
It's 8,000 people. It infected 8,000 people from 30 countries and territories and resulted in 774 deaths worldwide. And this is a severe acute respiratory syndrome, right? That's the that's the acronym SARS, right?
Sure.
And coronavirus one. Right.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
MERS-CoV. There was another one
mm-hmm.
that happened. That was another corona, or there was another coronavirus that also started to. It came out of the Middle East.
And yeah.
So
yeah.
There's been several scares and epidemics that happened that prompted research in this arena.
Stop right there.
Which is why.
Stop right there. Take a break. Prompted research in this arena. And I just want to go this route so we could at least try to educate the public and, you know, allay some fears. We'll take a break. Be back right after this.
Stay updated with news, alerts, and other valuable information with WTJX Newsfeed. Get the latest news stories that matter from veteran news journalist Tom Ader. Just download the WTJX app or online, WTJX.org. WTJX Newsfeed, your source for stories that matter.
I'm Aisha Roscoe, host of Weekend Edition Sunday, where we're not just interested in what's going on in the world, but why it's happening and how. Details are important. So are different points of view. We're dedicated to bringing you the stories behind the big events and the small ones, too. Join us every Sunday morning for Weekend Edition from NPR News.
Weekend Edition, Sundays at 9 a.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands. Get informed with Analyze This as former Senator Neville James features Virgin Islands newsmakers from around the territory and beyond. Neville dives deep into politics, art, culture, history, and sports. Analyze This, weekdays from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WTJX 93.1.
Hi, I'm Peter Sagal. You spent the week listening to the news. Don't you think you deserve to show off what you've learned on Wait, we give you a chance to impress your friends with your knowledge of international incidents, political gaffes, and the latest advancement in German nudists. You'll be the life of the party, or the death. Either way, you'll make an impression, and you can thank Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
Saturdays at 1 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m. right here on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
Sometimes you need a moment to just step back, relax, and listen to your favorite song. I'm Raina Duris, and on the next World Cafe, maybe I can help you find something new to love, or maybe remind you of something you've been missing. There's so much music out there to enjoy, so take a moment, take a breath, and tune in to World Cafe.
Weekdays at 10 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1.
And we're back here on Analyze This, having a good, informative conversation with Dr. Hunt Caesar from the Virgin Islands Department of Health. They got a wellness fair coming up, beginning a summit, a fair, right? Coming up beginning on June 1, which is 11 days from today. Would you believe that May almost done from June 1 until June 9th? And we're talking about information and things that you could do. Right, just as it relates to what we've been dealing with, you know, in the last 4 or 5 years with the pandemic, and all that stuff. And I was talking about, because one of the biggest concerns, I have this concern too as well, you know, people are concerned. I'm sure everybody had this concern, including the doctors, about, you know, the efficacy of a vaccine, the timeline as it relates to, you know, rolling it out and all that stuff. And it was right on this show when Dwayne Henry told me, Neville, this thing is actually 17, 18, 20 years old, right? Because it started back with the SARS deal back in the early 2000s. And then, yeah. So here's what I'm going to do, right? Don't believe me. Don't believe Dr. Hunt Caesar. Don't believe Dwayne Henry, who educated me or pointed me towards a location. You could go to the World Health Organization website, www.who.int, and you could get a summary of the SARS cases from November 1, 2002. This is 17, 18 years before COVID-19 and all, right? To July 31st, 2003. And you could get a summary and the different information about all the countries and how they were impacted, male and female, the total cumulative number of cases, the median age range. And America did good in this regard. Oh, we were fortunate. Let me put it that way. Dr. Hunt Caesar, we only had 27 cases in America, right? 13 female and 4 male. And that's a small number compared to China that had 5,327. China, Hong Kong, Special Administrative Region, Taiwan, that is, 1,755. China, Taiwan, 346. So a majority of the cases, Dr. Hunt Caesar, for the SARS deal back 22 years ago, was in the Pacific Rim, right? Now, the pandemic, COVID-19, was a global thing, right? But sure. What I try to do as a talk show host is push out the information and let the public make their own determination based on what they read.
Sure, but I don't want to like talk too much about COVID as it relates to the vaccinations that we're going to be providing for with this fair.
Oh no! The fair is a whole different thing. This is a separate part. This is an information part of this discussion but we want to encourage people to read and be knowledgeable about what is going on in our communities.
Sure, but as it relates to the vaccinations, what's going on in our community is that we need to remember that these immunizations for children are super important.
Mm-hmm.
So the wellness fair is the medical arm of it will be really focusing primarily on the pediatric portion. To make sure that we have the opportunity for parents to get free back to school physicals and free vaccinations to get kids back in school timely, without any hindrance and without any problems. So this is we'll be offering children up to ages 17 without any cost for physicals and vaccinations at the MCH locations. And these vaccines have been the tried and true vaccines that we've known for the duration of the 20th century that we know has.
So mumps have measles and so on. Those are the vaccines that we're looking at, right?
Yes, yeah. So we need to.
Yeah, the reason why I went the route is I don't want vaccines across the board to be penalized because people got this paranoia about the COVID vaccine.
Correct.
You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So that's the reason why, because when I talk with yourself, Dr. Ann Treasure, when she would call in your partner, the epidemiologist, Esther Ellis, and Brett, Commissioner Tita Encarnacion, you know, I will not sit by and allow for medicine and science, you know, to be just bombarded because we have a concern relative to the most recent pandemic. You follow what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I have an obligation, and voices like myself have an obligation to at least protect history and science that saved us as a people.
Absolutely.
You know, so that's
top, it was the number one public health achievement for the 20th century. It's listed as the first one.
And that is polio, right?
Vaccinations.
Oh, okay. Vaccination in general. Wow.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
I love that list. I mean, as a public health
And you know something? Let me ask you a question. What was it about infectious diseases that turned you, that got you into that field? Of all the areas of medicine.
Yeah. And honestly, specifically, it was, I feel like it was a combination of that led me to public health and how epidemiology sort of is plays a role. And highlighting the themes of public health. When I was in medical school in Washington, D.C., at Howard University Hospital, I saw a lot of African-American people, patients in the hospital, affected by infections of HIV. And this was during the time when I was learning about the virus, and understanding that it was we identified this virus that was killing people, like popped up in the 1980s, and it was a white gay disease.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
That's how it was labeled. That's how it was labeled.
Right, that's how it was labeled, right? And then I was doing my rotations on the wards, and I'm only seeing black people suffering from infections with HIV.
Wow.
And so then I was like, but I said, wait, no.
That's not what they told you.
Not what they told me. That's how it began. But what happened was when I was in medical school in the early 2000s.
Oh, you're talking about evolution. Shifted. You're talking about
that's
evolution.
What I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
So it shifted, right? And it shifted into populations of black and brown individuals and people who lacked the access to education and preventative medicine. So it's an understanding that happens whenever you have a disease that it's the same thing that happened with COVID. Like I love this sort of stuff, right? COVID came, but who was affected with COVID initially? People who were traveling, right? So people who had the means to travel and who had access to, the ability to get on a plane and go here and there. And then what happened? It quickly ballooned and it populated into areas of the underserved community that were highly populated and that did not have access to the information of, how to prevent the disease, access to the vaccine, access to healthier condition, healthier lives. And then so that's exactly what I saw, that what made me very interested in why was HIV labeled initially as a gay white disease, and now all of a sudden I'm seeing it in populations that are not necessarily the individuals that are in that population, but you have individuals having sex with men and women, heterosexuals, black and white people are having, are being affected with disease. And then I saw and understand that there were associations that were linked, that I was seeing that once you have an infection or a disease that is identified, even if it is among a certain population, then it will quickly spread to populations of the underserved community, because those are the communities that don't have access to public health education and access to medical care. So I immediately became in interested in HIV on a whole, and that's what attracted me to infectious diseases in general.
Wow.
But the entire reason behind it also interested me. So just understanding how diseases, chronic diseases, are overrepresented. In areas of or populations that have that lack access to care was what also interested me and what pulled me to public health and what interests me and allowed me to go into global health, and which is why I did also did the residency in global health equity at University of Miami. So all of those things happened at the same time. I did that, and then I did my infectious disease fellowship. So it all meshed well to me together for me.
See, I'm glad that we had that story there, so we could get it back wrong. I remember my dad told me his what inspired him was you hear about DC Canegata here on St. Croix, he was a doctor, you know, and what had happened was my dad's brother had gotten sick, and he came out, and this is back in the day when we had all the amenities we got now. He come out in the countryside where they had lived, and worked on my uncle. And revived him and brought him back, right?
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. A very straightforward story like that. I know. There was one time I think he had. I don't know if it was yellow fever or malaria. One or two, right? And one of those sicknesses. And back in the day, you know how that was, right? And that was the inspiration for him. And when he took the boat back in the 40s and went up to New York and worked his way down to Howard, and the rest is history. So I'm interesting that your story, 60, 70 years later, right, really had to do with the HIV pandemic, right, or endemic, whatever the appropriate word is.
And, it is.
Yeah, and how that, and it's interesting that you say what you put in that context. Chronologically, because when we heard about the Magic Johnson situation in 1991, right, he was fortunate because he had resources, right?
Exactly.
But then what happened was there was advancements and breakthroughs with medicine. And I remember watching this documentary, and they said folks who were laying in beds in hospitals were getting up and leaving hospitals. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because of the advancements and all the investment over time.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're talking about isn't just related to medicine, it's also economics. You know what I'm saying?
Correct.
You know, so I want to listen to what you're talking about there, where, you know, underrepresentation, areas of that don't have the economics, the dollar figure. There's so many dynamics involved with healthcare.
Resources,
correct. Yeah. People think this is just about medicine, but it's about availability of medicine and the need for
access to public health messaging.
Public health messaging.
True factual information and access to preventative care.
Without a doubt.
And that is the reason why we have chronic disease illnesses that really populate and are overrepresented in certain communities.
That's
and that is
about.
The reason why I am interested in public health.
So, to crystallize it, Wellness Fair beginning next week, Saturday, right? June 1st. And it's going to run through the following Sunday, not the day after.
Correct.
A week.
Correct.
A week from the day after. So, it's a 9-day deal from the first 9 days of June. Location is Udorakan High School, right?
Udorakan High School for Dental and Optometry and Wellness Services. The same thing in St. Croix Educational Complex. And then you have the MCH clinics for your pediatric needs on all three islands. Morse de Castro, St. John, the UVI Great Hall in St. Croix, and the Elinco Building on St. Thomas. What I want everybody to know is that everything is free, okay? Everything is free to the community. And the military professionals who are here are all credentialed. They're all licensed. They're all very well. They're here. They're happy. They're happy to be here to bring this service to you, and they're here to work. So come and bring everybody that you know. This is free to everybody. No IDs will be asked. You will not be asked if you have insurance. Please come. Everybody can get these services. And just remember that it is free, and they're going to be here for a time. So please come and utilize the services.
Dr. Tai Camille Hunt-Caesar, the medical director for the Virgin Islands Department of Health and the founding dean at the University of Virgin Islands Medical School. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. And good luck with the Wellness Fair for next week. Okay?
No, thank you, Neville. Thank you, Governor Bryan. Thank you, Commissioner Conacion. Thank you for my entire team that is doing all this work. It's a lot of work. Thank you to everyone who is helping me, because this is not something that I have been able to do by myself.
You
so shout out to the IRT. They're going to be here soon, and everybody's excited.
appreciate that. Department of Defense, give a shout out to them as well. Thank you very much, yes. Dr. Huntsizer. Okay. You got it. That's the notorious TC, 8C. I can't Dwayne Henry, let me know, Ty Camille Huntsizer from Department of Health. They got Wellness Fair coming up next week, Saturday, man. Okay, you're directing over in the Rock, the complex, right? On St. Croix, and then for the MCH, right? My turn up here. Let me see what I can be. Elanco Building and St. Thomas, Maurice de Castro Clinic on St. John, and the University of Virgin Islands Great Hall on St. Croix. I also want to thank the VIHA, the Resident Wellness Empowerment Department, for joining us this morning. Thank you very much. Thank Danny Challenger and everybody here at the WTJX team for making this show a success this morning. Be good and be safe. Talk to you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed on Analyze This are entirely those of the on-air participants and do not reflect those of the station's board, management, staff, or underwriters.
So I spent the past year trying to figure out what news designed for 21st century humans might look like. One of the things that really stuck with me was that we now know that humans actually need hope to get up in the morning. And I don't think as a journalist I ever thought about it that way.
We're always looking for new and better ways to understand the world we live in. That's On Point with me, Meghna Chakrabarty.
Weekdays at 1 p.m. on WTJX FM 93.1, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.
As the news gets more complex and changes through the day, you need more than just a quick headline check. Here and Now keeps you connected to your world between Morning Edition and All Things Considered, as the news and the people shaping it are changing in real time. I'm Robin Young. Follow along on Here and Now, NPR News weekday afternoons.
From 2 to 4 on WTJX FM, your NPR station in the Virgin Islands.